I want Jesus in my life more than anything this world can offer me. For I know that He alone can satisfy. Just to know His leading in my life is worth everything that I might sacrifice. Oh, I want Jesus more than anything. Take the fame that I might want, and all the things that seem so dear. I'd rather have Him than any praise that men may give to me. I want Him to have control and be the breath of life in me. I'd rather have Jesus, I'd rather have Him than anything. He had power without end. From the heavens He ruled the universe. Countless angels waited on His every call. But one day I saw Him all alone on the road to death and untold agony. Just for me He suffered. What a price He paid. Take the fame that I might want and all the things that seem so dear. I'd rather have Him than any praise that men may give to me. I want Him to have control and be the breath of life in me. I'd rather have Jesus, I'd rather have Him than anything. As I go on through life with Him, there could be no other way. I want Jesus more than anything.
I want Jesus
more than
for that this morning. Appreciate that. If you want Jesus, you came to the right place. Come to God's Word, and that's where the Lord will show you what you need in your life. And when you come to Jesus, you realize He is all that we need, right? Amen. We're going to be in the book of 2 Timothy this morning, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. As you find that, if you would stand to your feet as we open the Word of God and read this morning, we'll read one verse, and I'll read that first, and then if you would follow along, and we'll read that second time all together. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and we'll look at verse number 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and verse number 12, the Bible says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." Let's read that together. Ready and begin. "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this day and this opportunity to open your word and to preach about Jesus Christ. What a privilege and responsibility that is. I pray, Lord, today if there's one in this room that does not know you as their Savior, that doesn't know where they would spend their eternity, that today they would trust in you alone, the God that loves them, that died for them, and has a place prepared for them if they would simply trust and believe. For those today that need help and encouragement, strength, would you do what only you can do today? We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In this passage here, it says, we read it a couple times, for the which cause I also suffer these things. The Apostle Paul, writing to the young preacher Timothy, says, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. As I read this verse, I think of something that stands out to me, that Paul was not ashamed to be a Christian. He was not ashamed to be called a Christian. All that Paul went through in his life, and it was not all easy going for him, if you know the testimony of the Apostle Paul. And he starts out with saying, for the which cause I also suffer these things. All that Paul went through to be persecuted for the cause of Christ, no matter what he went through, he would say this, I'm not ashamed because I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. God is not a fairy tale that we speak about. God is not the man up in the sky. He's not the whatever term that people may use, a respectful term of the God of this universe. He said, I know whom I have believed. I know him personally. And he said, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul was not ashamed to be called a Christian. New Testament Christians, many times wherever they went, they preached and ran for their lives. Many times that they stood on their faith, and then many of them were martyred for the cause of Christ, and they glorified that they got to die for Christ. Paul would die. He would end his life in the next number of years. But know this, though, no matter what happened in this life, he said, I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. Today, we have so many casual, camouflage Christians that want to kind of just fit into the world. Christians that want to be saved and on our way to heaven, but kind of just not look different, not act different, not talk different, and then again, not even think or act different than the world. I don't see that in this passage here this morning of this Christian, this man that said, I'm not ashamed to be called a Christian. I'm not ashamed. To be ashamed is to be embarrassed or guilty because of one's actions. You're a bit ashamed to be out with someone else in public, maybe what they're wearing, what they're saying, what they're doing, and you just kind of want to wander away from them a little bit. And I'm not with them. They call you by name and you're like, who's that? I don't even know anyone by that name. You got to get in the car with them later, so they know who you are and who you're with. Paul was not ashamed to be named with Christ. He was not ashamed to be named with the Savior of this earth, that of this world, that we took the Lord's Supper this morning, the one that died for us, the one that gave his life for us, the one that rose again to be the payment for our sin, the one that has given us a home in heaven. He said, I'm not ashamed to be called a Christian. I'm not to be ashamed to be named with Christ. Christian is really another term for a follower or a disciple of Jesus Christ. A disciple, a disciplined one, one that sets aside the cares of this world to follow Christ. We live in this world, but we're not supposed to live for the world. We're supposed to live for Christ. The term Christian, I know it's not named in this verse, but the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch by the world. Christian is this, that you are like Christ. Would someone look at you and say you're like Christ? You must be a follower of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but there's a number of times I go to talk to someone and I've not even had a chance to tell them I'm a Christian or a pastor or whatever it may be, and they would say, I knew you were a Christian. I knew there was something different about you. Are you ever accused of being a Christian? Not accused in a bad way, but guilty in a good way, and say, yes, I'm a Christian and proud of it. Three things today I see in this verse where Paul was not ashamed to be a Christian. In this verse, he says it many times. He makes it personal. He would say, I suffer these things. He says, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. It was personal to him. I am not ashamed to be called a Christian. To be ashamed is to blush, to hide, to keep it a secret, to not let anybody know that I'm on my way to heaven, and keep the greatest gift and blessing in your life from other people. I couldn't understand, have the greatest blessing in all the world to know that you're saved, on your way to heaven, your sins are forgiven, never spend a second in a place called hell, and then go around the rest of this life and not want to tell anybody. That would be ashamed. You know what? That would be a shame for a Christian to not tell another person about Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed to be called a Christian. Why? Because I'm not ashamed of my God. I'm not ashamed of my God. Jesus Christ was not ashamed to die on that lonely cross for us, to bear our sins, to hang there beaten and whipped and ridiculed and naked, and he would die there for our sins. He was not ashamed to be named with us, with the accusers, the guilty, because he would look out and say, I love them. I love you. And I love you enough to die for you. No matter what I have to go through, I'll do it for you so that you could be with me in heaven. And how dare we be guilty as a Christian with all that Jesus Christ went through to receive the gift of the grace of God of salvation, and then say, I know that he went through all that for me, but I'm not going to say anything about him. Hey, he's my God. He's my Savior. He's my Creator. He's my Father. He's my friend. How could I ever be ashamed of Jesus Christ? How could I be ashamed of God? You say, I'm not ashamed of God, I just don't talk about him. What's the difference? If you never talked about your spouse, never brought your spouse out in public with you, never rode in the same car together, never wanted to be seen together, I think your spouse would think you were a little bit ashamed and trying to hide something about them. I'm not ashamed of God. I'm not ashamed of God's word. I'm thankful for the eternal, the perfect, the inspired, and errant word of God that God has given to us. I'm not ashamed to hold this Bible. It's a privilege to hold God's word. It's a privilege to have the eternal word of God that God has given to us to have and to hold and to read and to know him, to hear about God. I'm not ashamed of God's word. This is a precious gift that God has given to us. I'm not ashamed to live a holy and separated life. I'm not ashamed to be different from this world. I'm not ashamed to think different, act different, vote different, look different than the world. Why? Because I'm a Christian. The Bible says we're a peculiar people. We are called out from the world to be different. A Christian should look and act different than the world, right? Amen. We should look and act different from the world because we are saved. I have a new home. I have a new name. I have God's word and God's plan for my life. I'm not ashamed to be called a Christian. I'm not ashamed to have the Lord as my God. I'm not ashamed to have God's word. I'm not ashamed to live a holy and separated life. I'm not ashamed to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Paul says in the book of Romans, the word of God says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. God would call the Apostle Paul to the Gentile people. He'd be that first great missionary that would bring the gospel to the rest of the known world at that time. And the gospel was preached to the Jews and to the Greeks, to the Gentiles. I'm not ashamed to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Are you? When's the last time you opened your Bible? You gave the testimony of the day that you got saved, where God changed your life and turned that around, gave you home in heaven. You said, I've got to just tell someone about him today. You see, I've not found an opportunity. It's not hard to just drive out in public, to walk into a store, to go through your neighborhood and not find somebody that needs to hear about Jesus Christ. But are you ashamed of Him? Are you trying to hide God in your pocket and not and try to not let Him out in your life? It's impossible to take your light and to hide it, to hide it under a bushel and not let anyone see. I'm not ashamed. The book of Psalms says, "Oh my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me." It goes on to say this, "Yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed." Listen to this. It says, "Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause." Hey, as a Christian, I have nothing to be ashamed of, that I'm saved, living a holy, separated life, living for God. But the Bible says this, "But let those be ashamed that transgress," that sin, it says, "without cause." You know what we should be ashamed of is sin. We should be ashamed of sin. Sin is nothing to promote, to flaunt, to promote in this world. It is a shame. It is a reproach, and it's something to repent of, to get it right, not to glorify our sin. The Bible says, "Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause." I hate looking at the date of June 1st in my calendar. If you have a calendar where they give you all the holidays and things like that, I hate looking at June 1st and knowing that the world is setting aside a month to promote sin, to promote a wicked lifestyle that the Bible calls an abomination in God's sight, to set aside the month of June for the LGBTQ, whatever it may continue to be, society, to promote and to glorify sin, to push it down our throats. Every article you look at, every store you walk into, is this month is going to do their best to promote sin. Well, I'm doing everything I can to get away from that wicked lifestyle. Remember this, God loves every single person, but God hates sin. God hates your sin. He hates my sin. But the Bible says this, that sin is nothing to be promoted and to be glorified. This community has adopted the word of pride. Pride. You know what the Bible says about pride? That pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride, those that walk in pride, He is able to abase, and He's able to bring low. Pride will not stand before God. There's nothing to be prideful about our sin. When you stand before a holy God, sin should be repented of, not glorified, promoted, accepted in our lives. Too many times, even Christians today say, I wouldn't do it myself, but I can agree with you doing whatever you want. Why would we agree with sin? Does God agree with sin? Does God accept sin? Every single sin sent Jesus Christ to the cross. Every single sin. Now, we may label sin, and we may put it on different levels, but if we're guilty of one sin, we're guilty of all, the Bible says. And every sin sent Jesus to the cross. That is nothing to promote or to glorify in our sin. We should be ashamed when we stand before a holy God when it comes to our sin. Paul would say this, "I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed." Number two, he would say this. He's looking in your Bibles there. He says, "For I know whom I have believed." I know whom I have believed. How do we know that God is real? How do we know that God is there? I told our Sunday school class, some of you may know, but we went on a camping trip for a couple days and hiked around the lake and went on the lake and all that fun stuff. And we stopped on one of the walks around the lake, and I stopped the boys there and I said, "How could you look at God's creation and say there's no God? How could you look in this world today and say there is no God, that there is no creator, that there is no savior, that this all just happened by accident?" Paul said, "I know whom I have believed." Do you know Him today? Do you know Him today as your Savior, the one that died on the cross to pay for your sins? Do you know Him today? This belief that Paul had was a personal belief. It was personal. To know Him as your Savior is personal. You're not saved or a Christian because you walk into a church. You're not saved or a Christian because you hold a Bible or dress a certain way or act a certain way. It was a personal belief. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a personal belief. Have you made that decision in your life to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? It must be personal. No one's going to heaven because their mom and dad took them to church. No one's going to heaven because their mom or dad is a teacher or a deacon, whatever it may be. No one's a Christian because your parents are whoever, your heritage is whoever, or because some kind of lifestyle you live. The personal belief is that you trust in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. As a 9-year-old boy, I realized I was lost. I was on my way to hell. I knew if I died that night, I would spend eternity in hell as a sinner that deserved that punishment. I couldn't wait for the next day in church. I knew at the end of the service, the preacher would give an invitation and would say, if you'd like to come forward and trust Christ as your Savior to be saved, would you raise your hand and come forward? I don't know what happened at the end of the service, if the piano played, if it was silent. All I knew was this: I need to know Him as my Savior. And I didn't know Him, and I came forward, and they showed me from the Word of God how I could know that I was saved. I remember that afternoon after I asked Jesus Christ in my heart, I was walking with my sister and my cousin down a country road, and we were going to pick blackberries, because that's what we did. We were at Grandma and Grandpa's house and at their church, and we're walking down the road that day, and they both had prayed and asked the Lord to save them that day as well. And at that day, we walked down the road, and I said, doesn't it just feel different to know you're saved? To know Jesus Christ has saved you and the Holy Spirit in your heart. I didn't know a lot about everything, but I knew this. I asked Jesus Christ in my heart as my personal Savior. It was a personal belief. It was a powerful belief. A powerful belief in His God. I know whom I have believed. I think of David as he ran towards Goliath. Why would you run towards a 9.5-foot trained killer with a spear and all that he had? And the armor, because he came to Him in the name of the Lord. See, as a Christian, you're not alone. You're not going through this life by yourself. The Holy Spirit living in your heart. God on your side. That's a powerful belief to walk with God and to go in Jesus' name. Can you say, I know whom I have believed? His belief was also a persecuted belief. He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Hey, there will be persecution. All that live godly in this world will suffer persecution. There will be some kind of persecution. To be honest, our persecution in America is light compared to the rest of this world. I don't really know the background of their faith, but there was a couple and a few others that were killed as missionaries on the mission field as gangs raided their place and killed this couple. All around this world, there is real persecution for being a Christian. Most of the time today, the worst persecution we get in our country is someone just says something about you, maybe holds something over your head. But everyone will suffer persecution as a Christian. And Paul was no different from that, and neither are we. Are you willing to stand for your belief in God, no matter what persecution comes your way, by this world, by your family, by those around you? Would you say, I know whom I believe, not ashamed of God. I know whom I believe. And then thirdly and lastly this morning is this. He says that I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. He says, I'm committed unto Him. You know that Paul was going to be faithful to the death? Faithful to the death. To the last moment, knowing that his life would be taken for saying that he was a Christian. I believe that if he stopped preaching, if he stopped witnessing, if he stopped visiting churches, there wouldn't have been that persecution. But he was going to be committed and faithful to the end. May we be faithful as Christians today and not quitting for any cause because of what others say and do, but to say, I'm committed. Why? You can be committed to God, and that's trusting in Him. Not trusting in myself, my church, my works, but trusting in Him. I'm committed to God. Why? Because He's committed to me. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I'm committed to you. I'm committed to you. He'll never leave you. Aren't you thankful that when you sin, God doesn't say, well, you're not saved anymore. You're not a Christian anymore. How dare you say that? How dare you go there? And God has every right to do that. But by the grace of God, the eternal security that no matter what I do, I'm saved, I'm a child of God, God is committed to keep you unto that day. Committed is a deposit, a trust or thing consigned to one's faithful keeping. If you're going to take your trust, your commitment, and give it to anyone or anything, give it to God. If you're going to put your faith in anything in this world, why don't we give our faith and our trust to God? And he said, I'm committed unto him against that day. No matter what he would face, Paul would say, I want to be faithful to the end. Faithful to the end. Paul would say, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. At the very end of his life, he'd say, I kept the faith. I didn't quit on God. Not perfect, not sinless. None of us are. No one ever will be. But he was committed to the Lord. As we finish this morning, are you proud to be a Christian? Or are you ashamed to be a Christian? But what do your actions say? It's one thing to say that we're proud and not ashamed to be called a Christian and a child of God. But what do our actions show? Does it show that we're proud to be a child of God, or that we're ashamed to be a child of God? With head bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, we'll begin the invitation time this morning. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life that you realized as a sinner that we deserve the punishment of a place called hell? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We all deserve that same punishment, but we all have the opportunity to receive that gift of salvation. Has there been a day, a moment in your life where you trusted in Jesus Christ alone, asked him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sin as your only way to heaven? If you've never trusted in the Lord as your Savior before, why not today? Why not today be that day? With no one looking around, heads bowed and eyes closed, if we could have a word of prayer for you, no one looking around, not meaning to embarrass you or call you out in any way, but would you raise your hand this morning and say, I don't know the Lord is my Savior, but I'd like to know that. Would you slip your hand up real quick and put it down? I don't know the Lord is my Savior, but today I'd like to make that decision to trust in him alone as my Savior. Question is this: are you ashamed of the Lord, or are you proud to be called a Christian? Say, I'm not ashamed of my Savior that died to pay for my sins. The invitation time will begin in a moment. If you would stand to your feet. If you need a place to pray, the altar is open. If you need someone to pray with, Brother James will be up front, and we could have a lady go with a lady, a man with a man, and show you from the Word of God how to be saved, or maybe to someone to pray with you. As the ladies begin to play, would you come and spend time with the Lord? I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. Living for him today? Are you following him? Would you be considered a disciple, a Christian? Does your life back up the Word of God? When's the last time you told someone about Jesus Christ? Say, too many times I've been quiet when I should have said something about Jesus Christ. Tell him about my Savior. Let's not be ashamed of him. He's not ashamed of us to be called a child of God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, for this Sunday and being in the house of God. I pray that you would continue to do work in our hearts and our lives, that we bring that word of God home and convict in our hearts and change lives today, Lord, I pray. Thank you for this blessing of being here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much again for being here this morning. A couple announcements for you. We actually have quite a few announcements. We do have announcement sheets on the information station. I encourage you to get one of those. Let me go through a few of those briefly with you. Tuesday night, we have our men's night out at the Rescue Mission at 6 o'clock. I want to encourage the men to be out there. If you'd like to be part of the service, let one of us know, myself or Brother James, and we'll get you plugged in there. Wednesday night, we're back to our regular Wednesday evening services with King's Kids, Teen Class, Bus, and all that. Service starts at 6:30 Wednesday night. And then this Friday, we have our school graduation. It's at 6:30. We have a list of the graduates out on the information station, and we have a number of graduates from our seniors, 8th grade, kindergarten classes. I want to encourage all of our church family to be here for this graduation time. You may say, well, I don't have any kids or grandkids, whoever it may be, graduating. Well, these are young people that many of you have invested in their lives. You've seen them grow up, and so let's be a part of that this Friday, 6:30, right here. We'll have our graduation time for that. A couple more things is this. Next Sunday is our promotion Sunday, and this is for all of our kids promoting from one grade to the next class. We have the classes listed on the sheet. I'm not going to read them all, but the Sunday school hour and 11 o'clock hour, they'll promote to the next grade for many of those. And so please take a look at that. If you can't find your children next Sunday morning, they're in the next classroom, and you're going to go, oh, I should have got one of those sheets to see where they're going to be. We have men's barbecue coming up on the 15th, the day before Father's Day. You can sign up at the information station. Prepay, it's $7 for men, $5 for the boys, 10 and under. And then you can sign up, please, to bring sides for that. We're looking forward to this time coming up. Last announcement is this. If you can remember them all, you have a great memory. Last is this. We have coming up at the end of this month, June the 30th, the Sunday before Independence Day, 4th of July, we're going to have I Love America Sunday. And I don't know about you, but I love America, don't you? And we're going to have an ultra-patriotic service that day. So we're looking forward to that. We're going to honor our country, gratitude for those that have served our country as well. We've invited first responders in our area to be to this service at 11 o'clock that day. We're going to be passing invitations for that coming up here in a couple of weeks. And so I want to encourage you to be praying for that and be ready to get some flyers and invite people to our I Love America Sunday. Again, get an information announcement sheet, and that would be great. Thank you for being here this Sunday. Let's have a word of prayer. Brother Wood, would you be able to come up here and lead us in a word of prayer as we dismiss today? Service tonight at 6:30. I want to encourage you, 6 o'clock. Seeing if you're paying attention, 6 o'clock. Choir practice has now been changed to 4:30, so just adult choir, I'm assuming. Adult choir, 4:30 practice. If you could be here for that, please, as well. Brother Wood, would you lead us in prayer?
Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful, and we are persuaded that you are able to keep that which we've committed. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for so many blessings. You're so good to us. We praise you, we lift you up, and bring us back this evening in Jesus' precious name. Amen.